This morning, our New Testament reading comes from Paul's letter to the Philippians, chapter 3, verse 17, through chapter 4, verse 1. Brothers and sisters, become imitators of me and watch those who live this way. You can use us as models, for many live as enemies of the cross of Christ. I have often told you of them, and now I tell you, even with tears, their end is destruction. Their God is their belly, and their glory is in their shame. Their minds are set on earthly things. But our citizenship is in heaven, and it is from there that we are expecting a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. He will transform the body of our humiliation, that it may be conformed to the body of his glory, by the power that also enables him to make all things subject to himself. Therefore, my brothers and sisters, whom I love and long for, my joy and crown, stand firm in the Lord in this way, my beloved. This is the word of our Lord. Last week during our sermon, I talked about how the season of Lent is a time for reflection, a time to return to the Lord with all our heart, to truly reflect on how we are living as disciples of Christ. Last week, I introduced the series that I will be preaching on during our Lenten season this year. The title of it is called Practicing the Presence of God. This series is intended for us to practice the presence of God in all that we do, to live as if God is our imaginary best friend who is standing next to us at all times, everywhere we go. Each week, there's a different topic, and each topic pertains to Christian discipleship. Each topic is intended to help us reflect more on how we are living as Christ's disciples. Last week, I talked about trust, trusting God in a new way, where it's as if he's standing next to us saying, I got you. Don't worry about these things. I'm taking care of you. This week, I wanted us to focus on imitating Christ in all that we do throughout our lives. In our passage from Philippians this morning, that is the message that Paul was preaching to the people of Philippi. He was encouraging them to emulate Christ throughout their daily lives. More specifically, Paul told them to not be enemies of the cross, but rather to mimic his own behaviors. This call to mimic Paul's behaviors was not an ego-driven message, but rather Paul was offering himself as an example of someone who doesn't live as an enemy of the cross. He was offering himself as an example of someone who focuses on Christ more than his own self, someone who knows what it takes and the certain type of living that it takes to live as a disciple of Christ, a certain type of living which entails considering the needs of others more important than your own, acting in humility at all times, exuding the love of Christ to all people. So in essence, Paul's call to imitate him and his behaviors was a call to imitate Jesus. This week, as we practice the presence of God, as we focus on imitating Christ more throughout our daily lives, I have a short story that I wanted to share with you all. And I shared this story during our Ash Wednesday service, where it was a small gathering of people. But I wanted to share it this morning with you all because there's a lot more of us here, and it's a very poignant story. It's exceedingly fitting for each of us this week as we reflect on how we can imitate Christ more throughout our lives. It's a story about a pastor who transformed himself into a homeless person. And he went to the church that he was going to be introduced as the new head pastor at that morning. He got there about 30 minutes early, and folks were filing into the church building. Only three people said hello to him. Most looked the other way. He asked people for change because he was hungry, and no one gave him anything. As church was about to start, he went into the sanctuary, and he went and sat down at the front of the church. The ushers came over and they told him to get up and go and sit in the back of the church. He said hello to people as they walked in, but he was greeted with cold stares, blank faces, looks that were judging. The man sat in the back of the church and he listened to the announcements for that morning. He listened as the new visitors were welcomed into the church building. And he noticed how he was never welcomed, but instead he got stares that said, "You're not welcome here." Then the elders made the way to the front of the church, and they came up on the chancel, and they took the microphone, and they said, "We're so excited to introduce our new pastor to you." And they said the man's name and invited him to come forward. So the congregation stood up, and they're clapping. They're looking around with joy and anticipation. The homeless man in the back of the church stood up. He started making his way down the aisle. The church became silent. The clapping ended. The homeless man, the new pastor, walked up onto the chancel. He took the microphone, and he paused for a minute. And then he ever so eloquently recited a verse from the Bible. "For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. I needed clothes, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you looked after me. I was in prison, and you visited me." Then the righteous will answer him, "Lord, when did we see you hungry and fed you, or thirsty and gave you something to drink? When did we see you a stranger and invited you in, or needing clothes and clothed you? When did we see you sick or in prison and visited you?" The king will reply, "Truly I tell you, whatever you did for the least of my brothers and sisters, you did for me." After he recited this, he introduced himself as their new head pastor, and he told them what he had experienced that morning. Many of the people began to cry. Others just bowed their heads in shame. He responded by telling them, "Today I see a gathering of people in a church building, but I do not see the church of Christ. The world has enough people that look the other way. What the world needs is people who live as disciples of Jesus and follow his teachings and live as he did." He then dismissed the congregation, and service ended until the following Sunday. Gandhi once said, "I like your Christ. I do not like your Christians. Your Christians are so unlike your Christ." This story exemplifies why he said that, what he meant when he said that. Many who profess the faith do not live the gospel out in their lives. A few weeks ago, I gave you all some pretty startling statistics about the huge decline in the membership and participation throughout all the denominations. And I talked to you about how one of the main reasons that there's been such a huge decline is because we don't share stories about our faith anymore. We don't talk to people about God. Another reason why there's been such a huge decline is because Americans think the church is full of hypocrites. According to a recent U.S. survey, 72% of the U.S. population say, "I believe in God, but I also believe that the church is an institution full of hypocrites." People are turned off from organized religion because they feel like the church-going Christians are a group of individuals who show up on Sunday morning but don't live the gospel out all the rest of the days of the week. How many of you have heard the phrase, "He's a Sunday morning Christian"? Have any of you heard of that? That is what this phrase is saying. It refers to an individual who shows up on Sunday morning but then doesn't apply Jesus' teaching to their life any other day of the week. And there's all kinds of quotes about this. For instance, one says, "Don't just sing about God on Sunday morning, serve him on Monday." Or Sunday morning, "Serve him on Monday. Don't just sing that you will give it all to him on Sunday, give it to him on Tuesday. Practice what it is that you sing about every Sunday, because God wants less of your words and more of your actions." And there's another quote, "Don't be an average Christian that attends church on Sunday mornings, has a cross around their neck and a faith bumper sticker on their car, but forgets about God until next Sunday comes around. God wants you to give him not just your Sunday mornings, but all that you are and everything that you do." Now, this is not to say that all Christians are Sunday morning Christians who never live the gospel out, or that all of us here are a group of hypocritical Christians that never imitate Christ. That is most certainly not the case. There are a lot of great and wonderful things that we do in this church and that we do in this community and that we do all around the globe to reach out to people and to imitate Christ. I have even stood up here and preached a sermon to the point of tears as I spoke about how warm and loving and generous this congregation is. All of this is to say that we are never done growing or evolving to new heights in our Christian walk. Just like an athlete who is training for a triathlon, a marathon, any sort of sport, it takes constant devotion, constant strengthening and exercising so that that individual can reach new heights in their athletic abilities. The same is the case for us. Christianity calls for the same type of devotion and consistency, where we are always working harder and striving to become more like Christ, imitating him more throughout our daily lives so that we can reach new heights in our Christian walk. Paul's call to be imitators of Christ is a very valid and relevant call to us in our present day and age. And more specifically, as we find ourselves amidst our Lenten season and reflecting on how we're living as disciples of Christ, God doesn't want a half-hearted commitment from us, or we show up on Sunday mornings. God wants all of us. And the people of this world could benefit from us living the gospel out in our lives as well, really living and acting like Christ consistently. I have a short story I wanted to share with you all that illumines why it's so important to imitate Christ in all that we do. The story is about a humble, pious man who had a young son. The son became very ill. The boy went through a long series of exhaustive tests, and the doctors informed the father that the son had a terminal illness. The boy had been baptized. He had a close relationship with God, so the father knew that his son at his point of death would be ushered into the warm and loving arms of God. But the father struggled with how he would tell his son in the bloom of his life that he would soon die. So he earnestly sought the direction of the Holy Spirit, and he went to the hospital with a heavy heart and to the bedside of his boy, and he read scripture with him. And he prayed with him. And then he told his son that he only had a few more weeks to live. And the father asked him, "Are you afraid? Are you scared to meet Jesus?" And the little boy replied, and he said, "No, not if he's anything like you." When we embody the gospel, when we imitate Christ, it touches lives, it softens hearts. It fills people with joy and peace and love. When we embody the gospel and imitate Christ, it changes lives, and the needs of others are met. What the world needs is more imitators of Christ. That is the point that Paul was trying to make in his letter to the Philippians. So this week, let us all practice the presence of God and focus on imitating Christ. Imitating Christ as if he's standing right next to us, nudging us, whispering in our ear, "Be more kinder, be more loving, be gentler, more hospitable and generous." May we all take some time to reflect this week during our Lenten season on how we're living as disciples of Christ, so we can in turn reach new heights as Christ's disciples. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.